For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Let's open in prayer to today as we come around the Word of God. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for your Word, the Word of faith, and we choose to hear that today. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let hearts be open, eyes be open, ears be open, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're looking today a light shining in a dark place, a light shining in a dark place. Let's first of all turn to Proverbs 4, verses 18 and 19. Proverbs 4. Verses 18 and 19. Now I want you to listen very carefully. Every person here that goes to Victory Faith Centre especially, I want you to listen very carefully to what is said today. Because this is a word, I believe, from the Spirit of God. And this is a word that is so very, very important for the future. For each of us. And for the church itself, for the future of this city and this nation. And I don't say that lightly. Verses 18 and 19, we read, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." I'm going to go through fairly slowly some of these things because I want it to really go into our hearts. We are the just if we've been born again. We've been justified by faith through the blood of Christ, and we have a path to go. The Bible says the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Now that's connected to the Word of God, which the Bible says is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So you can see the word path is in both those scriptures. So the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. We would therefore expect that those who are walking along this path will heed the Word of God, have respect to the Word of God, and especially, and I say this because there are many people who have not even heard one faith sermon or one healing sermon or one prosperity sermon or one salvation sermon, much less hundreds. Now I know that here, and the people here, I see you, many of you have heard multiple sermons on all the topics that I've mentioned, as well as many others, such as the way of the Spirit, Pentecostal doctrine, the Word of God, creationism, young earth creationism. You've heard many, 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 and 100 times many sermons. But do you know that people could sit and not hear? And this is very, very important. But what's the evidence that they are hearing? Well, I believe this verse shows it quite clearly. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So more and more you would expect there to be more light about the things of God in your life. Not less. You would expect there'd be more joy. There'd be more peace. There'd be more of God's blessings. There'd be a greater understanding, a greater knowledge, more truth, more desire for the sincere milk of the word, more wanting to do things for the Lord rather than for yourself. More wanting to go God's way rather than wanting to go your own way. More wanting to help the brethren. More wanting to help the church. More wanting to do things for God. Can you see what I'm saying? There is a challenge. There is a challenge to the modern church, and that is to come out of selfishness, to come out of foolishness, to come out of the things of darkness. You know, I had one person who visited this church not too long ago, within the last 6 months, and they said, yes, I'm in this particular congregation and I disagree with a lot what's in it, but I'm working to try to change things in it. I challenge that man to come out of there, because, you know, you can't have fellowship with the works of darkness. You've got to come into a place where you're going to get the light of God into your heart, into your mind. You've got to have your mind changed. The Bible talks about being transformed by the renewal of your mind. If your mind's not changing to think more like the Lord. You see, Jesus was not a selfish person. He was the ultimate non-selfish person. And the Bible says we are to walk even as he walked. There is no getting around that. So the path of the just is that we are more and more being conformed to the image of Christ, of God's dear Son. More and more there is to be light in our lives. More and more we are to be growing. There are people, not just here, but right across this nation, who have been challenged sometimes for years on various topics, on various areas. But is there a hearing? An inner man hearing? Inner man hearing. Now notice what it says in verse 19. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So there is another way, isn't there? There's the path of the just. There is the way of the wicked. If you read the book of Proverbs, you'll see there's a lot of this juxtaposition. It talks about going the way of the righteous or the just, or going the way of the wicked. It talks about what happens when you go the way of the just, the way of the righteous. It talks about what happens when you go the way of the wicked. Now you would think it's very obvious that to go the way of the wicked, or to dabble in that, or to not heed the word of God, you'd think it'd be very, very obvious. You'd think it'd be very obvious. But it does seem that it's not obvious to a lot of people, even a lot of Christian people. Let's have a look at Hebrews 2, verse 1. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Now, we did a sermon recently called Do Well to Take Heed. Do well to take heed. So how can you do well in the Christian life? Take heed. You see, it is the ultimate respect to God to take heed as to what he says. To listen to what he says. And God speaks in various means. He speaks primarily through his word via the Spirit of God. And as preachers and people and teachers, the ministers that God has put into place in the church, he uses them too. Okay, God is a God that's very merciful. He's a God that's very long-suffering. And he gives, right through Scripture, warning about this whole area about heeding, about listening, about taking into account what you've heard so that you don't let it slip. Okay. And I said, you know, there are people, even Christian people, that have not even heard one sermon about, for example, prosperity or healing or the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and many other subjects such as walking by faith. And yet, the Lord wants that, doesn't he? Look at Hebrews 2 verse 1. It says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Earnest talks about being serious. You know, it's not... I'm thinking now, you know, when I was a young Christian, I didn't realise how serious it was to sit and hear the Word of God. But the more I went into the Word and the more I grew in the Lord, the more I saw how important the Word of God was and how important it is to give respect. We would say to have the fear of the Lord, because that's the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom, to have the fear of the Lord, to take heed to what he has to say, to listen to him. And it says here, we ought, that's you and me, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, I mentioned before that God is long-suffering. Now, he will talk to people about various areas in their life, sometimes for decades, some years and years and years. You know, sadly, there were people, there's been people who have sat in this church for years, and then they do the very opposite to what's been preached repeatedly whilst they were sitting in the services. Can you believe it? Which just goes to show they weren't giving heed with their inner man ears. But something else was getting in the way. And we'll have a look at what that is in a minute. Something was clogging their ears. Something called sin was clogging their ears. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. There is a warning here. There is always the possibility of people letting things slip. Ah, yes, I've heard many years ago, I heard about healing, and that they know nothing about it. So they should be not letting it slip. Oh, yes, I've heard about, you know, how to walk by faith, but it didn't work for me, so I don't want to hear that anymore. No. God has commanded you to walk by faith. God has commanded you to stand by faith, to live by faith. And you can only please God by faith. Very, very important. You can only please God by faith. What did I just say? You can only please God by faith. There was a man that came here years ago. You know, he was challenged on this very point. And he was a man that I believe was called to be a minister of God. In fact, he helped me nearly 40 years ago when I first became a Christian. He was in the church I was in, and he helped me. But the Lord challenged him about walking the way of faith. But you know what he did? He rejected that and deliberately went to a meeting elsewhere which talked and was preaching. And in fact, the topic was directly on it, against the faith movement, against faith. I mean, this is just pure stupidity. The word is given to people many times, but they've got to heed it. I know this sounds very serious, and it is. It is. Have a look at 2 Peter 1, verses 19 to 21. 2 Peter 1, 19 to 21. But you know, God is raising up a people that are going to hear him. going to hear him. And their path is going to be like that shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. More and more. Because Jesus is coming back for a spotless church. Believe it. He's coming out for a spotless, word-washed church. Washed by the water of the word, the Bible tells us. So the word must be very important in the eyes of Jesus. Here we see in 2 Peter 1, verses 19 to 21, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. We are light. We are the children of light. The word of God is light. And the Bible says the entrance of God's words giveth light. That tells me that every problem in the human spectrum can be answered by the entrance of God's word and the Spirit speaking in line with that word. But we have to take heed. We have to listen. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So we have to take heed. And then have you ever had this dawning of something? Oh, it's just dawned on me. That's what you were talking about. But you've got to take heed to get to that stage, don't you? Take heed. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. We shouldn't be explaining things away. If we talk about tithing, we're not talking about fantasy. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So we're talking about not just any word, aren't we? We're talking about the word that has come directly from the Holy Ghost. He is the divine author. Directly. Now, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We're talking about something that's quite serious. So when people don't take heed or reject the word of God, they don't understand how serious it is. But there's coming a time when they will understand. Have a look at Proverbs 1. Look at verses 5 to 7 first of all. I want to go through Proverbs 1 a fair bit here because, and take you slowly through it, because we have to get hold of this. In fact, it is vital for the future of Christianity in this city and nation, indeed, in this world. It's vital for modern-day Christians to come away from this I'm in it for myself type mentality, which is what we see predominantly in the modernist churches today. I'm in it for myself, and because you're not saying what I want to hear, my itching ear will go over there to hear what I want to hear. This is the type of thing. This is also what is behind the modern version filth that we see in today's society, today's churches. Proverbs 1, verses 5 to 7. A wise man, and I pray that's you and me, will, act of the will what? Hear, and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord And this is related to having respect for God. Having great respect for God. Sadly lacking in our society today and even in our churches. Sadly. That's going to change. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You've got to have respect to the Lord. Otherwise, you'll be like the fools. You know, they might not with their words, although often they do, say, I despise wisdom and instruction, but their thinking is all revolving around that, and their actions is all revolving around that as well. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. A wise man will hear. So hearing is so very, very important to the Lord. Take heed, we saw before. Ye do well to take heed. And don't let the things that you've heard slip. We'll go across in Proverbs 1 to verses 20 and we'll go right down to verse 32. Starting from verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. In the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words. Okay, so here's a question for us. Is wisdom available today? I'm talking about godly wisdom. Is it available? Well, this is saying that it's public. It's publicly available. See, the famine is not a famine of God's words because God's words are available everywhere. In fact, it's even more available now than ever. You can go onto the internet in an instant, bring up the holy word of God. And we have more books than ever. We have more access to the Word of God than ever. What is the problem? See, wisdom is available. Wisdom is there. Wisdom is crying out in the streets, in the city. It's not hidden. But it is hidden from those who will not hear. Okay? The famine is not a famine of God's words. The famine is a famine of hearing God's words. And that's what the prophecy tells us. The famine is a famine of hearing God's words. Wisdom is out there crying out, listen, I've got the answer for you. I've got something to say. But a lot of people aren't hearing God's words. They're hearing what their sin is saying. They're hearing what the world is saying. All types of opinions are out there that are at deviance with the word of God. Verse 21, she crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. If fools hate knowledge, what don't they have? They don't have the fear of the Lord, do they? They don't have respect for what God is saying. They don't respect God's wisdom. But God is crying out. And what are they doing? They're delighting in their scorning. They're delighting in it. Now, listen to what it says in verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. There is a reproof saying, this is what you have to turn to and do. And there is a repentance that needs to happen. I tell you now, right across the churches, right across the church, you can start here. There is a repentance that needs to happen. There's a turning that has to happen. Notice what it will happen when people turn at the reproof of God. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Notice it's got a little S, spirit, there. It's not talking about the Holy Ghost there. It's talking about the workings of the Holy Ghost, the spiritual workings in your life. Now, when you have the pouring out of God's spiritual workings in your life, everything will work together for blessing in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? You'll have a growing and hearing of love and of faith and of truth. That leading of God will be present. That increasing in knowledge and understanding will be present. So notice that's the first part there. I will pour. So there'll be an abundance. I will pour out my spirit unto you. You will have an understanding, more spiritual understanding than you ever thought. Because turn you at my reproof is like a clearinghouse. If you say, no, I don't listen to that. I'm not listening to that reproof. I'm not listening to what those words are saying. Well, that's saying that you hate that knowledge. But if you say, I'm going to turn at that reproof, well, then you've made yourself a candidate for these two things that can happen to you. In verse 23, turn you at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit, that spiritual working of the Holy Ghost in you, his power working in you and in your life. I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. You will start to understand the word of God. You won't be like those people who sit in service after service, hear many sermons, hear God speaking to them with their ears, physical ears, but the next thing you know, they're doing the exact opposite to what has been taught. No, 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 you won't be like that because you've turned at the reproof of God. And this is the instruction, turn you at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, I will make known my words unto you, verse 24, because I have called and ye refused. This is the other people, ones that haven't turned at the reproof of God. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Okay. God is long-suffering. But if a person for 40 years or 20 years or years and years rejects God's reproof, rejects it, what happens to them? Do you think their heart becomes softer to the Lord or harder to the Lord? Becomes harder to the Lord. It becomes like that hard ground, and the seed of the word can't get any access into that heart. That's a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous position to be at, because then what happens next is what we're about to read. Verse 24, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. People can get themselves into a stage where, because they've refused the Lord will refuse them. And then it says in verse 28, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a choice. I choose to fear the Lord. I choose to respect what he has to say, to hear, to take heed to what he has to say. This is why it is so very, very important. And I know it's a serious message today, but it is a message I believe that the Holy Ghost has wanted me to speak, not just to hear, and certainly it starts here, but to beyond here. And I pray that many people will hear this message because it's so very important. Verse 28, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Verse 30, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. A person's actions can show that they despise all of God's reproof. But they're sowing something, aren't they? People that do this, that do not respect God's words to them, that do not choose the fear of the Lord, they are sowing not good things, but they're sowing bad seed. And verse 31 tells what will happen. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Verse 33, but whoso hearkeneth unto me, hearkeneth, I listen to you, Lord, I hear you, I take heed, I will turn at your reproof. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. You want to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty? Here it is, hearkening to the Lord. You want to be free from worry and fear and depression? Here it is, hearken to the Lord. Choose the fear of the Lord. You'll be quiet from fear of evil. And it'll be like trouble will come, but you'll have all around you angels of God, the protection of God, the strength of God. And it won't come nigh your dwelling. It won't come near you. So I want you to examine your hearts today. If, and you know, every one of us knows, if there has been these things in your life that you know have to be fixed up, I exhort you strongly to fix them up, to get them fixed up before it's too late. And by too late, I'm not just talking about the time of your death. I'm talking about when you come before the judgment seat of Christ, and all of us will, the Bible promises that, you will answer to Christ for what you did on the earth. Now, do not think this life is all there is, because many do. But the Bible says it's but a vapor. And we should think just like Paul thinks, you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's precisely the case. And if you believe the Bible is the Word of God, then, you know, you'll understand that you're just a stranger and a pilgrim upon the earth, and you have a mission to do now here, and you should be listening to the Word of the Lord and doing what God wants. Because when you come before the judgment seat of Christ, and the Bible talks about your works will be judged, whether it be hay or stubble or gold and silver and precious stones, and that'll have an impact on eternity for you. So I am exhorting you by the Holy Ghost to get it right from this day. From this day. From this day. Now there's other things. I've got other scriptures down here which I would have liked to have got to. And I'll bring them out in the next sermon. But what I've said today, I think, you know, all of us will come before the Lord. And all of us are being spoken to by the Lord now. Earlier in life, you know, as I said before, I didn't hear the Lord as much as I should have. But you know that further and further I go on in the Lord, the more and more it's shining, clearer and clearer, and the day star is dawning in my heart. It should be with all of us. And we do well to take heed, to have respect for what the Lord has to say. So when you come before the Lord and listen to his word, it's like a precious treasure. It's not, oh, this is just a man or a woman preaching and ho-hum. No, it's, Lord, what have you got to say today? Or you come to the Bible and you look at it. Oh, it's not just reading a few verses. It's, Holy Ghost, please show me out of the word. Because you're the divine author, show me what you want to tell me. Show me. And he will open it up to you. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you and praise you. We praise you for your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help every one of us, Lord, to come to the place in you where you can work in us and do a great work through us in the name of Jesus. I believe the Lord has spoken to people today, and I exhort you, when you go home, get before the Lord. Put aside a bit of time, get before the Lord and say, and repent. Or do something which you know you need to do. And say, Lord, I have not listened to you. I have not taken heed. And I've seen many examples of people who haven't done that and they've come to naught. Lord, I want my life to matter whilst I'm on the earth. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. I don't want to be like those who are selfish. I want to heed you. Forgive me. And I choose the fear of the Lord in the name of Jesus. And if you need to get this sermon, then get it again and listen to it. Praise the Lord Jesus. Glory to God.